So tonight, I want to talk to you briefly about what I've entitled The Essence of the Prophetic. The Essence of the Prophetic. The Essence of the Prophetic. One of the things that you need to understand is that you cannot come around a prophetic anointing and retain the same. And it is a very dangerous thing to also walk around a prophetic anointing, because sometimes you can be very familiar, and the familiarity can stop or barricade you from receiving a lot of things that ordinarily you are supposed to receive. So tonight, I just want to expose all of us to the essence of the prophetic. Those of you who have my book, Igniting the Prophetic, there are many things I've written in there, but some of the things I'm going to share with you tonight, I think that they are just basic things, but God will just make it fresh in our spirit. Let us read Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Amos chapter 3, verse number 3 to 7. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 to 7. I am reading from the English Standard Version. Do two walk together unless they have agreed to meet? Does a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Does a young lion cry out from his den if it has taken nothing? Does a bird fall in a snare on the earth when there is no trap for it? Does a snare spring forth from the ground when it has taken nothing? Is a trumpet blown in a city and the people are not afraid? Does disaster come to a city unless the Lord has done it? For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets to his servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? So the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So there are two things here: secrets. God will not do anything unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. So it means that a prophet is a custodian of divine secrets. Anytime somebody begins to share a secret with you, it is because the person trusts you. It is because the person can rely on you. It is because when you get the secret, you will not go and stand somewhere and gossip and tell the whole world that this is what you have received, this is the secret you have heard. So when God wants to redo something, he looks for a certain group of people he called the prophets, and he begins to unfold his secrets even to them. Why? Because he can trust them. And once he gives them that message, now he is able to do what he is planning to do. So if God will do something, he reveals his plans. Now, somebody will say, man of God, is it true that everything God will do, he reveals? Yes, it is true. God will do nothing unless he reveals it. And the thing is that if God does not reveal it to you, he will reveal it to another person. If the other person does not see it, God will surely give it to another person. So you are not always the prophet that will see what God is doing. God always has a lot of people who are going to see per time everything that he's about to do. For example, what is going to happen in Ghana in a political year? What is going to happen in December? What is going to happen in November? What is going to happen in 2023, 2024? God has already spoken about it. But if you are not the one who has received the message, it doesn't mean that God has not spoken. So the fact that I don't know everything does not mean that God has not spoken. God surely has revealed his plans to his servant, the prophet. So, the prophetic is, you know, a very interesting ministry. The main person or the main personality behind the prophetic is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the main person behind the operations of the prophetic. As long as the Holy Spirit was at work in creation, and he was working in the Old Testament among some kings and prophets, what it means is that the prophetic is not a contemporary gift. The prophetic is an old covenant gift. It is something that is older than all of us. In fact, if I list the fivefold ministry, I think that the prophetic gift is the oldest the ministerial gift amongst the five listed by Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 4. Because as far back as Genesis chapter 20, verse 7, 8, and 9, God mentioned and introduced the prophetic ministry of Abraham and said, Abimelech, return the prophet Abraham's wife to him, because Abraham is a prophet and he will pray for you. And when he prays for you, you will live and you will not die. So we see that as far back as Genesis, the prophetic ministry was already at work. It was already at work. And that is why it is very important that as long as that prophetic ministry was at work, it means that the Holy Spirit was at work way back in the Old Testament and has been working in partnership with these people so that the will of God on earth is enforced. Now, one of the ways to operate in the prophetic is to build a strong fellowship with the Holy Spirit, because he is the main man, he is the main person, he is the main personality. And it is good that you go to a meeting and you want prophecy. It is good. There's nothing wrong with it. It is good to join a prayer meeting and trust God that God will give you a word. But I think that the most important thing is for you to receive an impartation of that grace, so that after the meeting, you will not just be somebody who has received a prophecy, but you yourself, you will begin to prophesy. And this is what was spoken about at the time the prophet Joel was speaking about the outpouring of the Spirit in Joel chapter 2, verse 27, 28, and 29 downwards, that it shall come to pass that when the Holy Spirit is poured upon all flesh, he said that the young men shall see visions, the sons and the daughters, they will prophesy, and the old men, they will dream dreams. So there is a strong connection with the coming of the Holy Spirit and the prophetic. There is a strong correlation between the operations of the Holy Spirit and the operations of the prophetic. And that is why you cannot operate in the prophetic if you don't know the Holy Spirit. You cannot enjoy the prophetic if you don't understand the dealings and the workings of the Spirit. You cannot fully, you know, be beneficial about the prophetic when you don't know who the Holy Ghost is. And so my prayer for somebody tonight is that by the time we are done with this meeting, your love for the Holy Spirit, your desire for the Holy Spirit, your passion for the Holy Spirit will be multiplied in this meeting. Your desire to spend days and hours and weeks together with the Holy Ghost in your room, will be multiplied. That after this meeting, you will say, man of God, right after the meeting, I felt like I should spend 7 days in fasting and prayer and waiting for deeper dimensions and deeper fellowship with the Holy Ghost. And this is my prayer for somebody tonight. Somebody shout, I receive it. So receiving a prophecy is good, but much more is when you receive an impartation of that grace. And this is what happened in the time of Moses, when God said to Moses, Moses, there are many of you and many of your people that I want them to operate the way you are operating. Therefore, I will come to you. And when I come, I will take of the spirit that is upon your head, and I will carry that spirit and look for the men and the women who are ready for it. And I will place that same oil and unction upon them, so that the things you do, they will do. The things you say, they will say. The things you hear, they will hear. And the things you see, they will see. And this is what I call impartation. Impartation is the transference of divine grace from one greater source unto another person. And tonight, as you sit under the sound of my voice, I see a transfer. I see a transfer. I said, I see a transfer. Somebody under the sound of my voice, there is a transfer coming to you. You and your family, you and your children, you and your family, you and your children shall begin to operate in deeper dimensions, even of the prophetic anointing. Somebody shout, I receive it. You see, so you cannot talk about the prophetic without talking about the Holy Spirit. You understand me? Now, when I say the essence of the prophetic is not just about mentioning names. It's not just about telling you the food you ate before joining this Zoom meeting. It is not just about telling you the color of dress you are wearing. That is not the prophetic. The prophetic goes beyond that. The prophetic is about bringing you in alignment to the will of God for your life, bringing you to the place where you can operate at the maximum level that God wants you to operate from. It is when you are brought to the place of maturity. So when you read Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 10 and verse number 11, when Paul was talking to the church in Ephesus about the fivefold ministry, one of the things he said was that the essence of the fivefold ministry, which includes the prophetic, is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith, and then to the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness which is in Christ. So this is to tell us that there is a measure of maturity. There is a place of the fullness of the measure of in Christ that everybody must operate from. There is a certain work of ministry that every saint must be equipped to operate in that ministry. And the essence of the prophetic is to raise you up, is to bring you higher, is to bring you up, is to make you grow tall, is to make you the man that is above all. It is to make you like the Mount Zion, which is above all the mountains of Esau. It is to make you an established mountain, so that you become a savior in your field. You become a mighty man in your field. The prophetic is to bring you in alignment with the will of God for your life. And in this meeting, I see over 100 people here. God is going to pull you from the realm of obscurity and bring you to the place of prominence. God is going to bring you from the place of nowhere and bring you to somewhere that you will be known. You will be in alignment with God's plan, and the plan of God for your life will surely come to pass. If you believe, shout, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
Oh, somebody shout, yes, I believe.
Yes,
I believe. So, yes, the prophetic is not for entertainment. The prophetic is not to just excite you. It is not talking. It is not just about talking. It is not, you see, these days, not everybody who calls himself prophet is a prophet. You see, a lot of prayer warriors are now become prophets. Those days, they were something else. But today, all prayer warriors are prophets. Today, everybody, because of that, even the ministry, now when people even call you prophet, it's like people begin to look at you too, because it has become almost, it's like it does not carry weight as it is. You see, when you call yourself prophet, just measure yourself with Isaiah. Measure yourself with a prophet like Isaiah. Measure yourself with Elisha and the Elijahs, and check yourself whether you are indeed operating as a prophet. Because the fact that you see a vision, the fact that you prophesy, does not make you a prophet. You see, prophesying is a gift of the Holy Spirit that God gives to the body of Christ. Everybody is supposed to prophesy because it is a gift God has given to the church, to the body of Christ. But not everybody who prophesies is a prophet. There are a certain combination of gifts that must be seen in you that will let us know that you are a called prophet. And when you are called as a prophet, you will know by yourself. You will know. And tonight, I am not here to talk about prophet, but I'm here to talk about the prophetic. You see, the operations and the activities of the prophetic gift in the house of God is what I call the prophetic. It is when a man is able to understand and know the voice of the Holy Spirit per hour, per time. That is when we say you are prophetic. Am I talking to somebody? So one of the essence of the prophetic is that the prophetic brings deliverance. The prophetic brings deliverance. Tonight, somebody shall be delivered. You see, many years ago, the people of Israel, in Exodus chapter 1, the Bible says that they were crying. They were crying unto God. They were in oppression. They were suffering. When you read Exodus chapter 1, verse 8 downwards, the Bible talks about the fact that there came another Pharaoh who did not know Joseph. And the coming of that Pharaoh now became the introduction of oppression and all kinds of slavery among the people of Israel. You see, anytime somebody is introduced, the entrance of somebody is the exit of somebody's freedom. The entrance of somebody is the exit of somebody's liberation. The entrance of somebody is the exit of somebody's enjoyment. This was the entrance of a new Pharaoh. And immediately this new Pharaoh came, all the enjoyments the people of Israel were enjoying, when they now hesitated. So they were suffering. I am praying for you that anybody who has entered your life and the entrance of the person has initiated a certain season of oppression, a season of lack, a season of disgrace, a season of disappointment, tonight in this meeting, there shall be a deliverance. I said there shall be a deliverance. There shall be a deliverance. You and your family will enjoy the grace of God. Somebody shout, I believe. Now, do you know that as the people of Israel were crying to God for deliverance, God did not send deliverance? Let me take it again. When the people of Israel were asking God for deliverance, God did not send deliverance. God rather raised and sent a prophet to them. Instead of God just bringing them out of the place of Egypt, God rather gave them a prophet. So anytime there is a group of people or in a generation and people are going through some oppression and they need some deliverance, God will always introduce a man. The man can be an apostle, the man can be a prophet, the man can be a pastor, the man can be anyone God has called. But one of the things prophets do is that whenever a prophet comes around you, it is because there is a season of deliverance that God is going to use the person to introduce into your life. Tonight, are you going through certain situations? Are you going through certain things that you are trusting God for? Are you going through certain things that you want God to bring deliverance? I am here to announce that under this prophetic anointing, it is impossible to go home the same way you came. In this anointing and under this atmosphere, deliverance has been initiated. I said deliverance is initiated. Deliverance is initiated. Your healing is initiated. Abundance is initiated. Oh, I said your glory is initiated. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is coming through right now for you. Somebody shout, I believe.
I believe.
Oh, somebody shout, I believe.
I believe.
So, one thing that the prophetic does is that the prophetic brings deliverance. And that is why the Bible says that by a prophet, God delivered and brought Israel out of Egypt. And who was that prophet? That prophet was Moses. So, by a prophet, God brought deliverance to the people of Israel. The second thing is that anytime there is a prophetic, genuine prophetic atmosphere, what happens is that the answers are provided. Answers are provided. The essence of the prophetic is to provide answers. Yeah. Yeah. The essence of the prophetic is to provide answers. Answers to problems. Answers to solutions. That is why if you go to any genuine prophetic atmosphere, and whoever is being used by God in that atmosphere will not be talking and speaking negative things. You know, you will not go under a prophetic atmosphere and we are saying that you are coming to die, you are going to lose your life, you are going to lose your job, you are going to lose this, you will lose your money. By the time the prophetic ministration is over, there is a release of answers, there is a release of comfort, there is a release of solutions to whatever you are going through. That is the essence of the prophetic. So in this meeting, I don't know how many questions you have. If I were you, I would just start writing some questions down, because I feel strongly within my spirit that tonight God is releasing answers to all the questions in this house. Oh, amen and amen and amen. In 2 Kings chapter 4, in 2 Kings chapter 4, the Bible talks about a prophet who died and left a serious debt for his wife. And he left about 2 children and 2 sons. And the Bible said that one day, this prophet was actually one of the sons of Elisha. So when he met Elijah, he said, your servant, my husband, was a very fearful, he feared God, and yet he was in debt. And your servant has died, and because of that, the debt that is there, the creditors have come to come and take my 2 sons away and use them as slaves. Then the woman started complaining to Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4. Then at the end of the day, Elisha asked her that, what do you have in your house? You see, he said, he asked her, what should I do for you? I said, then I mean, your man, what should I do for you? And you see, the woman was still complaining. Oh, your servant does not have anything in the house. Your servant does not have anything in the house except a jar of oil. Then the prophet said, go and take that jar of oil. Go with your children. Borrow all empty vessels from your neighbors. And come back and pour the oil in the jars. So by the time he poured the oil in the jars, all the jars were receiving oil, and the oil was never empty. It never dried up. By the time the vessels were done, now the oil stopped flowing. So the question that the woman approached Elisha with, there was an answer. Are you getting me?
Yes.
There was an answer. There was an answer. And that is very important. You see, Elisha asked her, what do you want me to do for you? And I look at that scripture and I begin to ask myself questions, because he says that the creditor has come to take my children away. And Elisha said, what should I do for you? instead of going straight to the point and say, I need money, or pay the debt for me. This is straightforward. The woman was still beating about the bush, and it is something I don't understand till now. Because this is a straightforward question. What should I do for you? Instead of saying, pay my debt, or whatever. Now, look at what she said. What should I do for you? Tell me what. Then he said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Except a jar of oil. Because Elisha had asked her, what do you have in your house? What should I do for you? And he said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. I mean, you go straight to the point. You know, when she met Elisha, when you know that you have met a prophet, the first thing, don't start saying, your servant, my husband is dead, and you know that your servants fear the Lord. What has it got to do with the problem? What has it got? I don't know if you are following me. What has it got to do with the problem? Your servant fear the Lord, and so what? And so what? You see, one of the things about the prophetic, okay? One of the things about the prophet is that prophets are not called to pamper you in your problems. They are called to provide answers to your problems. Did you hear what I said? Prophets are not called to pamper you in your problems. They are called to provide answers to your problems. So, I don't know whether it's with everybody, but me, I'm just using myself as an example because I don't know anybody, I know me. One of the things I don't like to do, if those of you who have followed me for a long time, if you want to discuss something, I don't like calls. I don't like you to call and then you start talking about a lot of things. You talk and talk, and man of God, so this didn't happen, and we did this and that and that and that and that. It drains me. I don't know. These are some of the secrets I'm saying. It drains those, because as you are hearing, you know, it has nothing to do with what you want. What do you want God to do for you? It has nothing to do with my husband was a God-fearing person. No. So once you have encountered the man that you think that he has the word from God for you, just go straight to the point. Don't be roaming about. And tonight, sometimes as Christians, let me make it contemporary and applicable. As Christians, we come before the Lord and they ask, what do you want God to do for you? Somebody will beat about the bush. When we say pray, somebody will pray and pray amiss, pray about things that are unnecessary. By the time we say, let's stop praying, they are now actually beginning to pray. When we say pray, go straight to the point. And sometimes we want to be so merciful with God. Oh God, the things I'm asking from you are too many. I think that you cannot do all. So just do this one or two. When they say ask God for what you need, go straight to the point and ask for the big things that you want God to do for you. If I were the woman, I was the woman, I would have gone for a big, you know, how do you call it? Sir, I'm cracking, sir, I guess the first thing. Jerrycan, whatever it is. Or I would have gone for those kind of things, you know, drums, big ones, and then start pouring the oil into it. Because once you have an encounter with the prophetic, you should know that your capacity to increase has been released. Amen. This evening, somebody's capacity to increase has been released.
Amen.
I don't know what you are doing in life, whether you are schooling or you are working, you are a businessman, you work with international organizations, whether you are in America, you are in Ghana, you are in Asia, wherever you are joined from. I am here to tell you that in this meeting, the anointing to increase, the anointing for increased capacity has been released upon everybody here. Oh my God. Do you believe? So the essence of the prophetic is to give answers. It's not to pamper you. It's not to pamper you, oh God, you do it. It's to give answers. That is why tonight, answers are already being given out in the name of Jesus. Now the final thing before we pray, in the same 2 Kings chapter 4, one of the things about the prophetic is that the calling of God on the prophet comes with a certain anointing to create. The calling of God upon the prophet comes with an anointing to create. You see, I'm going to make a statement and listen carefully. Thus saith the Lord, and thus saith the prophet, all carry the same weight. Thus saith the Lord, and thus saith the prophet, all carry the same weight. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 downwards, there was a woman called the Shunammite woman. This woman was a political figure. She was a well-to-do, noble woman. And Elisha, you know, the woman had given the prophet a lot of seed and done a lot of things for the prophet so that the prophet can come to her house. One of the things you need to learn to do is to find a way to bring your prophet into your house. It's very important. And when he went there, he looked around and said, why is this woman worrying herself just for us? I mean, he was talking to the servant about it. He said, the woman has been going up and down building a house for me. I don't understand why she has built a house for me. I don't understand why the woman has given me a bed that she come and sleep in her house, come and eat her food free. I wouldn't pay anything, you know. If it is muddy, they will say the woman says she come and buy fuel. Now that fuel is expensive. Come and I'll give you fuel, free fuel. I'll not take money. You see. And the prophet did not understand. Elisha did not understand. So Elisha was woke, and the servant said, "Sir, Gehazi," he said, "ever since we came here, I have not seen any child walking around or playing around. Maybe the woman does not have a child." So now the prophet called the woman. The woman came to stand at the door, and the prophet said, "Woman, that at a year by this time, by the time I come back to you, by the time I come to this house, you will have your baby in your hand. You will have your own child. You will embrace a son. You will embrace a son." And the woman was like, man of God, what you are saying there? In fact, I believe in prophecy, but as for this one, I don't believe. How can you lie to me? And year by this time, me, have a son. It's not possible. It's not possible. How can I have a child? I believe it. You see, prophecy will always look impossible. Prophecy will always not look like you. Because whenever you receive a prophetic word, it will make you question God. Every genuine prophetic word will begin to activate, or it will stimulate your logic. Every prophetic, genuine prophetic word will begin to stimulate your logic, because you look at your situation and you compare it with the message you have received. You realize that there's a big gap. You don't look like it. This is what happened to Mary. When Mary received the prophecy that you will give birth to a son, Mary said, "How can this be? I am a virgin. I have never slept with a man before. How can you tell me that I will give birth, I will get pregnant, and I'll give birth to a son?" He said, "This cannot happen." You see, so anytime there is a genuine, somebody receive a prophecy that you are going to be very rich, and at the time you are receiving the prophecy, you don't even have money to even buy call credit. You don't have even money to pay for your transportation fee. Yet the prophet is saying that the Lord said you will become rich. When you receive such a word, you are tempted to doubt God. Every genuine prophetic word will stimulate your logic to begin to doubt God. It tells you that this one, it is. So when it happens like that, you don't have to doubt God. All you need to do is to believe. Mary said that, "Let it be according, let it be unto me according to your word." So what it means is that Mary believed God. The Bible says she kept the things that the angel spoke to her in her heart. And she was, why was she keeping it in her heart? She didn't throw it away, because she knew that as long as God has said it, as long as God has said it, that it will surely come to pass. Because with man, it is impossible. With man, this cannot be, but not with God. Why? Because with God, all things are possible. Tonight, I don't know what you are going through. The Shunammite woman said, "Man of God, don't lie to me." But at the end of the day, a year by that time, when Elisha visited the woman, was the woman with the baby boy. Oh my God. Tonight, one of the things the prophetic does is that the prophetic has the ability to even bring a certain kind of creation into your life, so that what does not exist, by the word of the servant of the Lord, that thing is created into your life. I have said it and I'm saying it again. That saith the Lord and that saith the prophet, they carry the same weight. Why? Because it is the word of God. The word of the prophet is not the word generated by the prophet. The word of the prophet is the word of God. And the word of God is also still the word of God. So it doesn't matter whose mouth the thing comes through. Once it is the word of God, it will find fulfillment. Many years ago, a donkey was carrying a human being, and the donkey spoke the word of God. And that word of God that the donkey spoke preserved the life of the man. So it doesn't matter the channel. As long as it is the word of God and it is not the word of man, what God has said will surely come to pass. Am I talking to somebody? You see, when, I don't know, I am not a lawyer, but I need to find out from my brother. When you are a judge and you meet, you see, let me say this again. A judge cannot pronounce you into 5 years imprisonment, but a judge in his office can pronounce you into 5 years imprisonment. A judge cannot pronounce you into 5 years imprisonment, or a judge cannot acquit you, but a judge in his office can acquit you. So it means that the power of the judge is not in the judge, but the power of the judge is in the office. Are you with me? So if a judge meets you on the way, maybe you have gone to do something, the police arrested you, and they say they are going to take you to court and all of that. You know that maybe the judge will sit on your case. If you meet the judge in the market, at the market, the judge quit you or discharge you or plead you guilty or whatever, it can't happen. Even if he does, it does not carry weight. But as long as he sits in his chair or sits in her chair or in her office and declares, whatever she declares in the office now can carry weight. Yeah. Now, the difference between that and the prophet is that when it comes to the prophetic office, the office of the prophet is not in the place. The office of the prophet is inside of the prophet. So wherever he goes, he carries the office. And wherever he goes, he carries that authority. And that is why when a prophet tells you, that saith the Lord, even if it is a word he's just saying, even if he's just speaking, even if it is not a prophecy, but he himself is telling you that a year by this time. Because if you look at the scripture, it was not God who told Elisha that tell the woman a year by this time. It is the prophet himself who said, ah, woman, because of what you have done, a year by this time. You understand? So, and it happened because the office of Elisha was inside of Elisha. So as long as he spoke, the words carried weight and the words carried life, and the angels of God carried the words and made sure the word was fulfilled. Tonight, I am here to tell somebody, anything that does not exist in your life, God is about to create it into your life. Maybe you are here under the sound of my voice. You have lost your children. Your children died. You lost your son. You lost your daughter. You lost your job. You lost your money. You have lost a lot of things in your life. Tonight, I don't know what you are going through. Sometimes you begin to ask God questions. And you ask God, why is it that I am the only one going through all these things? Tonight, the essence of the prophetic is to create. I am here to tell you, under this atmosphere, what does not exist, we create it in your life. I said, we create it in your life. In the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen. Somebody shout amen. Declare over your life. I pray for you. Whatever prayer request you came here with, God give you answers. God give you answers. In the name of Jesus. Anyone that came here with any form of issue, May our God fight for you. Amen. May God fight for you. Amen. Always say that, who can battle with the Lord and win? Who can battle with the Lord and prevail? Nobody, you see, nobody can fight a covenant child. You are a covenant child of God. And I declare over your life, any battle you are going through, any battle you are fighting, may our God fight for you. May 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 God fight for you. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And now I lift you before God. May you be given the nations of the world.
Amen.
May you travel from Ghana, from US, from Canada. May your product and your services, your talent, the Bible said the gift of a man shall make room for him. And he shall not stand before obscure men. He shall stand before great men. I declare over your life, by your giftings, by your talent, by your skills, by your product, and by your service, may you come before great men. May be open. Receive open doors. Receive open doors. Open doors. Open doors. Open doors. All over Africa. Open doors. All over the Americas. Open doors. In Australia. Open doors. In Asia. Open doors. Everywhere. In Antarctica. In the name of Jesus. Open doors. I declare again over your life. The time you have spent before God tonight, may God do a certain testimony in your life. May there be a miracle in your life. A miracle. Now I pray, anyone here who has been bound by the devil, anyone here who has been bound by Satan, I command whatever is binding you to give way now. I loose you from the oppressions of darkness. I loose you from the oppressions of the enemy. May you be free. May you be liberated. Be free. Be free in your mind. Be free. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will need the fruit of the womb. May God give you the fruit of the womb. May God give you the fruit of the womb. May God give you the fruit of the womb. You will come back with a testimony.
Yes,
you are coming back with a testimony.
Yes.
But coming back with a testimony. Doesn't matter what the economy is going. It doesn't matter that the recessions in the economies. Every nation is crying. But I am here to announce to somebody, the righteous shall live by faith and shall not live by sight. We are not moved. We are not moved by the wind. Not moved by what is going on. I am not moved by what I see. I am not moved by what I hear. I am only moved by the word of God. I declare over your life, nothing shall stop you. Nothing shall stop you. Nothing shall stop you. You will be a miracle. You will be a wonder. You will be a miracle. You will be a wonder. Nations shall hear about you. Canada will chase after you. America will chase after you. China will chase after you. The UK will chase after you. Africa will come looking for you. In the name of Jesus. Palagataya, Parosiketa, Kaduminiata, Kumbidiataka. I declare again over your life. As long as you have stepped into this house, as long as by mistake, whether you came on purpose or not, once you are in this house, the woman said, Prophet, don't lie to me. It's not possible I will have a child. But Elisha said, a year by this time, I declare over your life. Maybe for some of you, a year by this time will be too late. For some of you, a month by this time will be too late. For you, it is tomorrow by this time. You, I declare, whatever you need, whatever you are trusting God for, I speak that a year by this time, tomorrow by this time, month by this time, tomorrow by this time, a week by this time, your miracle will come.
Amen.
Give a testimony unto God. I want you to open your mouth and thank God for what the Lord has done. Thank God for what the Lord has done tonight.